Welcome to Since You Asked with Jim Barrier on the Cross Global Media Radio Network. Send Jim your questions about the Bible and Christianity to jim@cgmradio.com. Subscribe to Since You Asked by visiting us online at cgmradio.com/ask. And now, here's your host, Jim Barrier.
December 24th, 1968. Apollo 8, carrying James Lovell, William Anders, and Frank Borman, became the first manned vehicle to circle the moon. As they emerged from the dark silence on Christmas Eve, these three wise men took turns reading from Genesis chapter 1. Anders went first, quoting, "In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth." In his book, A Brief History of Time, Stephen Hawking wrote, "So long as the universe had a beginning, we could suppose it had a creator." Well, that's probably the one thing I can agree with Hawking about. He then attempts to explain the unexplainable. He concludes that the universe just is, and if there's a multiverse, they just are. But that does not answer the question, where did it all come from? In the film The Sound of Music, Maria and Captain Von Trapp, played by Julie Andrews and Christopher Plummer, sing, "Nothing comes from nothing. Nothing ever could." That was actually a quote from Parmenides of Elea, the Greek founder of metaphysics. I think their math adds up better than those who try to desperately explain the unexplainable. In the beginning, God. Everything is traced back to this profound reality. He is the cause in the cause and effect. He is the first cause. It would require more faith for me to believe that matter came from emptiness, that light came from darkness, that energy came from non-energy, that life came from non-life, that order came from disorder, that exactness came from randomness, that personality came from the impersonal, than to believe in the beginning God. He is the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. Interestingly, that statement is made about the Lord God in the Old Testament, but also about Jesus in Revelation. John's Gospel opens with these words, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and apart from him, not even one thing that came into being that has come into being." Jesus is the Word, and the Word is God. One cult tries to get around this by changing it to, "The Word was a God," with a small g. This presents a problem, however, because Scripture is very clear. Any God but Jehovah is a false God. So witness this, Jesus is God. All things come into being through Jesus Christ. Let me say that again. All things come into being through Jesus Christ. That is the point of today's message. Everything in the life of the believer begins with Jesus. He is the great initiator. At best, we are responders to what he initiated. In Paul's sermon to the Greeks on Mars Hill, he said, "He himself gives to all people life and breath and all things, for in him we live and move and exist." Jesus said, "For just as the Father has life in himself, so he gave to the Son also to have life in himself." We have life because he has life, because he is life. Thomas asked, "How do we know the way?" And Jesus said, "I am the way and the truth and the life." Jesus said, "You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." He is the truth. Everything good in your life was initiated by the Lord. Everything valuable in your life is a gift. James says, every good thing given and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights. 1 John chapter 4 says, we love because he first loved us. We did not begin this relationship, he did. I've always found the phrase, I found Christ, a little bit off. In Luke 15, Jesus gives the real picture. The sheep was lost, the shepherd found it. The coin was lost, the woman found it. The father said of the prodigal son, he was lost and has been found. It is even more dramatic than that. In Romans 5, Paul teaches that God demonstrates his love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. While we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son. I did not find God, he found me. Though I do not deserve it, he saved me. Jesus said, love one another just as I have loved you. I did not truly know love until I knew the Savior. He initiated love. Ephesians 4:32 says, be kind to one another, compassionate, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ has also forgiven you. Forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. When Jesus told Peter to forgive 70 times 7, he explained in a parable that concluded with the king saying, you wicked slave, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. Should you not also have had mercy on your fellow slave in the same way that I had mercy on you? Jesus initiated mercy. I don't have to live in sin because he came to do away with sin. The angel said to Joseph, he will save his people from their sins. Romans 6 says, we are free from sin. 1 John says, you know that he appeared in order to take away sins, and in him there is no sin. In John 8, Jesus said, everyone who commits sin is a slave of sin, but if the Son sets you free, you will really be free. Stand fast, therefore, in the freedom by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Jesus initiated freedom from sin. Jesus said, I say to you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. John said, the one who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous. Paul said, he made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. He initiated righteousness. Pursue peace with all men, and the holiness without which no one will see the Lord. Peter quotes Leviticus when he says, be ye holy, for I am holy. The greatest miracle, the greatest mystery, is that a holy God would become a man so that he might make unholy men become holy. Holiness is not a list of do's and don'ts. It says be holy, not do holy things. It is being set apart, consecrated, sanctified for God's purpose. He initiated holiness. Jesus said, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. Then, when he had washed their feet and taken his garments and reclined at the table, he said to them, do you not know what I have done for you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are correct, for so I am. So, if I, the Lord and teacher, washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I gave you an example, so that you would do just as I did for you. Truly I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master. He initiated service. But then he also said, "Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master? Well, if they persecuted me, they will persecute you as well." 1 Peter 2:21 says, "For you have been called for this purpose, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example, so that you would follow in his steps." Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone wants to come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me." He initiated the crucified life. Again, in Romans 6, Paul teaches, "Just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too may walk in the newness of life. For if we have become united with him in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection." Colossians 1:18 says, "He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have preeminence." 1 Corinthians 15 says, "But the fact is, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who are asleep. For since by a man came death, by a man also came the resurrection from the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ all will be made alive, but each in his own order. Christ the firstfruits, after that, those who are Christ's at his coming." Paul pleads with the church in Ephesus, "I want you to know what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his great might, according to the working of his mighty power, which he brought about in Christ when he raised him from the dead." And in Romans 8, he says, "If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you." He initiated resurrection. Jesus initiated everything that we need in our lives. We respond to his initiation. Our response is to follow him. 20 times in the New Testament, Jesus said, "Follow me." The world is big on self-starters and initiators, but we are not called to walk according to this world. The world operates on a me-first attitude. Jesus said, "The first shall be last, and the last shall be first." I want to be a responder to what Jesus initiates in my life. I want to go where he leads me. I want to do the things I see in him. I want him to be the boss of my life. I want my life and everything in it to begin with God. I need to seek his will for my life. I need to pray before making decisions. I need to let his word be a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I need him to show me the way. I need him to teach me the truth. I need him to give me life. I need to love because he first loved me. I need to be merciful as he is merciful. I need him to set me free from sin. I need him to make me righteous. I need him to sanctify me. I need to serve him. I need to take up my cross and follow him. I need the power of his Spirit that brings resurrection. And I need him to not only be the beginning, but the end all in my life. This is Jim Barrier on Since You Asked. Let Jesus be your beginning, and let him begin great things in your life.
Since You Asked is a production of Jim Barrier and Cross Global Media. Visit us online and subscribe to the show at cgmradio.com/ask.